Blog Talk Radio.
Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Bogoman.
I want to say a special good evening to our citizens and civilians and super folk of the Twin Cities, Millennium, and of course Paragon Cities. Happy Juneteenth to everybody. It's now a national holiday. That's right. Enjoy. I don't do the show alone. No, I don't. I get by with a little help from my friends, especially this one, my co-host. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's Viking. But most people just call him, well, Mad Viking.
I'm dying! I'm dying!
poor Mad Viking. Overworked, underpaid.
To quote Huey Lewis, all I want is a couple days off. And it was like, before we got on here, Pogo's man is checking about when my daughter's wedding is. It's supposed to be July 8th. And he's going like, so why are you not doing the dawn con? Well, because all the planning.
Right. Which I'll be heading up this year. So if anybody wants to help with the planning, see me, text me, et cetera, et cetera.
Alan, if you're listening, you see that guy? You talk to him with all the stuff that you've been raising. He's right there.
That's right.
He's in blue.
I'm right here. Well, for now, I'm usually in white and black with a yellow utility belt. Don't know what I'll be in tomorrow, but who knows? I might have to do a director's outfit or something. General Eastern
Local. Very rare I will kvetch about rain, but it's like she's gotten a whole lot of time off for X reasons. Okay. Right. But now it's my turn.
That's right. Alan's going to part on. All the funds you've been raising. I think he's just been putting them in the vault, so.
Yes, all the funds that you've been raising. And Ogo is in charge. So you talk to him. Mind me to give you bank access, so everything's set there. As in Ogo Man.
Yeah, hold on.
But we do have some comic book news that was in.
Go
a
on.
Passing away. And
oh yes, that. Well, not. It's not. Yeah, it's comic artist news, and it's quite sad. It happened Thursday. A famous comic, legendary comic artist, John Romita Sr. passed away at age 93. If you read comic books, 70s, 80s, 90s, if you don't know who he is, one, shame on you. Two, his son, even followed in his footsteps. So, Matt, you were saying something? You broke up there. Hello?
Yeah, I'm saying that the listeners may be too young.
Right,
hello?
Right.
Hello?
But even his son. I gotcha. Hello? You're there. I hear you.
Okay.
Right. But even his son, John Romita Jr., took over. You know, so just the name John Romita. So, that's. But, all right, so here's the. This is courtesy of Superhero Hype. This is what they wrote. From June 14th. Legendary comic artist John Romita Sr. has passed away at the age of 93. Romita's son, John Romita Jr., tweeted out on June 13th that his father passed away peacefully in his sleep, asking fans to keep their thoughts and condolences there out of respect for his family. I say this with a heavy heart. My father passed away peacefully in his sleep. He said, he is a legend in the art world, and it would be my honor to follow in his footsteps. Please keep your thoughts and condolences here out of respect for my family. He was the greatest man I ever met. And okay, let's see, John Romita Sr. was the legend of the comics industry, as I just said, working closely alongside major figures like Stan Lee and co-creating multiple iconic characters like Wolverine, The Punisher, and Mary Jane Watson. He illustrated countless memorable comics, including The Amazing Spider-Man, after he took over for Steve Ditko in 1966. As he worked on Spider-Man, the comic managed to become Marvel's best-selling comic, beating out the highly successful Fantastic Four. And John Romita Sr. is survived by his wife Virginia and his sons Victor and John. So there you go.
A friend of mine who does, you know, has done comic books here, found an old drawing of it was picking on Romita Sr. And they had Reed Richards in the Iron Man suit. They had the Thing dressed as Colossus. They had the Scarlet Witch dressed as Storm. And it's going like, do you think Johnny here has just taken on a little too much? But if you want to talk about classic storylines, let's see. Right out of the gate that I could think of anything, the origins of the cosmic cubes.
Right. From 66 on, that was Marvel. I mean, let's see. So far we lost Kirby, Lee, Ditko, Romita Sr. I mean, there's others. I mean, Alan.
The teaming of
O'Neil.
The Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy against Korvac.
Right.
Demon in a Bottle. Iron Man. Come on.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And hello, Numbskull. Yes. going back to someone asked me here, it was like, but won't you be back for Dark Con? Yeah, and hopefully I have the energy to do stuff. I mean, you've noticed on my show, I haven't done a Stan and Lou because it's like every time I get home, it's
yes. He's over. He's tired. He's bushed. Leave him alone.
Do I have to start singing like in Blazing Saddles? I'm tired.
Yes.
Tired of playing the game.
Yes. Leave him alone.
Let's face it. From the brain down, it's kaput.
Put.
I had to change it on that one.
I know, yes. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, shame on you. Shame.
Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles. They will not be able to make it nowadays.
They thought they couldn't make it then, but they did.
They're still trying to cancel Blazing Saddles. Yeah, I'm going like...
The original?
Yeah.
No, you know what's funny? It showed on TV, but it's only half an hour. I can't watch it unless
it's
IFC.
Like the,
if you guys
for
get
Christ's sake, the you, parts written get, for Sheriff Bart was written by Richard Pryor. Mel Brooks said, "Richard,
yes.
You do this."
Yes. I mean, all right. Here's the deal. There's a channel, like an independent film channel, IFC. When they show it on there, that's when I'll watch it. Uninterrupted, nothing cut. And that's the only time I'll watch it.
Yeah, put it anywhere else, the only thing that's funny would be you get to the fart scene. Around the fire.
Oh, they even cut that. Oh, that
they
offends
even
some
cut
people,
that?
Too.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They'll scan over the fire scene really quick until the guy comes in. What's going on around here? What in the what? You know, what's going on here?
What in the wide world of sports is going on around here?
Going on. Yeah, and that's it. And that's it. And then, like, it's muted until he comes in. Like, forget it. They ruined the joke. I don't know what's happening to this world.
Two words. Lighten up!
This woke generation needs to wake up already. Wake up. Lighten up. Good lord.
It's like, I had a couple of youngsters near where I work when I was getting, you know, on break here. And they were talking about this, you know, from the college. They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going like, you do realize Sheriff Bart's Parts was written by Richard Pryor. And
who?
This said it all. Who's Richard Pryor?
Oh, my God.
I was like, an African-American comedian, if it wasn't for Red Fox and Richard Pryor, you would not have Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle.
Or Eddie Murphy.
I had to bring two that they would have known. And Eddie Murphy is kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, at best, they would probably think, donkey?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They've never seen Raw. One half.
We're delirious.
Give me half.
I'm telling you, those are two great comedy specials. Eddie Murphy, I know you.
Like I said, Red Fox, Richard Pryor, without those guys, you wouldn't have what you have now. Anyway, enough kvetching.
Yeah, that's right. No.
Let's get the easy stuff out of the way. Ship of Heroes.
Go ahead. You talk.
No drinking game.
City of Titans. Nothing. Okay, we got the game updates out of the way.
There you go.
I mean, for the Cessa games, we used to have nice updates. Now we got nothing. All right.
I still believe Ship of Heroes heard that we turned that into a drinking game, and when it came to 37 errors, it'd go like, oh, man, someone just got alcohol poisoning. I think you had to retire that whistle.
Good Lord. Well, you know, I can only do so much, so. Okay. Okay, let's start off with Deadpool 3, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. First off, if you like Domino and Zazie Beetz, I got bad news. She's not returning as Domino. She recently revealed that she will not be back for Deadpool 3, the upcoming third installment in the X-Men spinoff franchise. The actress shared the news after being asked during an interview with Decider at the Tribeca Film Festival about the production. Well, I'm actually not in Deadpool 3, Beetz said, though she added that she was excited to watch it. Nina Thurman / Domino, a mutant with probability-altering powers, was created by writer Fabian Nicieschi, I hope I said that right, and artist co-writer Rob Liefeld for the 1990s X-Force comic book series. Deadpool 2, released in 2018, served as the character's live-action debut. Hold on, which Deadpool cast members are returning for the threequel? Well, Beetz is so far one of the few cast members from the first two Deadpool films not returning for Deadpool 3. Besides Ryan Reynolds returning as title character, actors who have been confirmed for the Merc with a Mouth third solo film include Karan Soni as Dopinder, Leslie Uggams as Blind Al, Marina Baccarin as Vanessa, Stefan Kapisic as Colossus, Rob Delaney as Peter, Brianna Hildebrand as Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
And now Peter, Peter got puked.
Katsuna as
Yukio. In number two.
But remember,
so
he went. Did you watch the movie?
Well, most of it.
Did you watch the Easter egg scenes at the end?
No.
Oh. Okay. You know Cable has a time machine, right?
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That answered
Sonic
it.
And Yukio. Fixed it. Oh, there's a whole thing in the credits. He goes back in time, and one thing he does, he saves Peter. Peter lands, and he goes, Peter, just go home. Just go home. Forget it. We're canceling the meeting. He's like, just go home. He goes, X-Force, buddy, just go home. Just go home, you big teddy bear. And he leaves. He doesn't save the other guy. He just saves Peter. That's why Peter's able to come back. He went back in time and did all kinds of things. Oh, and you have to find that sequence. There's other cool shit. I'm surprised you haven't seen it because there's other cool shit. You got to go find it on YouTube.
Well, I've seen some of them, but not that particular one. I mean, I've seen the shooting
That's
of Ryan Reynolds. I saw the shooting of Ryan Reynolds mm-hmm. reading the Green Lantern script. I saw the
right.
first Deadpool from the Wolverine movie. I've seen
right.
the Hitler one. But I didn't see the Peter
right,
one.
Right, Baby Hitler. Yep, that's in it. I think that's like the first one. That's like one of the first things he does. Well, after he saves his, you know, after he saves Vanessa. He saves Vanessa first, and then he goes back, he saves Peter, and then all the other stuff. Because then people go, wait a minute. How can you shoot Ryan Reynolds if Ryan Reynolds created the Deadpool movies? And he goes, shush, 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 alternate Ryan Reynolds, shush, shush, comic book time travel, shush. Okay, and Hugh Jackman, as the big surprise, will also appear in the prequels, Logan/Wolverine, marking his first official appearance in the Deadpool franchise. Archive footage of the actor from 2009's X-Men Origins Wolverine was previously used in Deadpool 2. Additionally, it's been rumored that Jackman will be joined by his original X-Men film trilogy co-stars, Halle Berry, Famke Jensen, and James Marsden in the film, who will be reprising their roles as X-Men member Storm, Jean Grey, and Cyclops, respectively. Emma Corrin and Matthew McFadden round out the ensemble cast in undisclosed roles. Deadpool 3 is currently in production with Sean Levy at the helm, directing from a screenplay written by the writing team of Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, along with Zeb Wells, Reynolds, and Levy. The hotly anticipated threequel is scheduled to hit theaters on May 3rd, 2024. Ooh. Now, along with that, Rob Liefeld says Deadpool 3 cast will leave people, quote-unquote, blown away. The Marvel creator of the Merc with the Mouth, Rob Liefeld, teased some mind-blowing X-Men-related cameos in Deadpool 3. Okay, again, here we go. Per the direct, Liefeld sat down with the YouTube channel Nuke the Fridge to discuss the highly anticipated third installment that sees Ryan Reynolds team up with Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, coming out of retirement after his last appearance in 2017's Logan. Though Liefeld cannot discuss exactly what will happen in Deadpool 3, the potential of seeing cameos of stars from Fox's X-Men film franchise is not out of the question. The stuff I know, it will melt your face, all right? That's all I'm going to say. It will melt your face, Liefeld says. Liefeld continued by stating how he was directly involved in discussions with Marvel Studios President Kevin Feige early on in Deadpool 3's pre-production. The Deadpool creator claimed that Marvel wanted his feedback as they were considering a lot of different roads, a lot of different paths. Already aware of what was planned for the Deadpool/Wolverine team-up, Liefeld teased that bringing back Jackman was just the beginning of the major surprises in store. Some stuff I was aware of, I had to be quiet before it was announced, Liefeld said. I knew you and Ryan were getting back together for Deadpool 3. I've been very fortunate people put stuff in front of me. And trust me, all I'm saying is I saw the cast list. I think people are just going to freaking get blown away. And I'm not saying shit more than what I just said. Well, Marvel has not confirmed which X-Men characters will cameo. Let's see here. So basically, the same thing I just Rob Liefeld didn't. So basically, Rob Liefeld didn't say shit. Thank
all
you,
right,
Rob.
So
wasting
see.
Our time.
There's
you're wasting our
roles.
Time in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And you waste our time. You
so
just
there
wasted our fucking time.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Now you said there are two roles unidentified, right?
Yes.
Now who are they again?
Yes. That's funny because I lost the article. Hold on a minute. Let me see if they say something down here. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find out where what I do with it. I had it here a moment ago.
Go to the Wikipedia if all else fails.
No, 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 no. Okay, I got it. Emma Corrin and Matthew McFadden. They ran in undisclosed roles.
All right. So, and they said Rob Lee, they're pulling out of Rob Liefeld's stuff. Okay. Let us think. Who also appeared during that time period? One female, one male. I don't know what these actors look like, but then again, you know, they also alter their looks in it when they need to. I'm going to say one of the others that appeared the same time Deadpool did, Gideon.
Okay, that could be one.
As for the female, if we're going to do X-Force.
I'm thinking Boom Boom.
I was thinking Tabitha Boom Boom, yep.
Because they did Rusty already, kind of, sort of.
Well, if they did Rusty, if they bring back Rusty, they could bring in Skids.
Right. Well, they brought Rusty was the dude in the last movie. Remember, he said that because his name was Rusty. His real name was Rusty, and then he had that name, whatever, Fire Fist or something like that.
Well, because remember, Rusty and Skids were a team that they were planning on forming, you know, just never
right.
really took off.
Hmm.
They also could bring in Strife.
Ooh.
Remember, Strife was the one that everyone was expected to take down the mutants. And as soon as Liefeld left, that took care of Strife.
Okay, you know what's funny? I'm looking at IMDb, and they have Emma Corrin, and Matthew McFadden is listed second. And Emma Corrin is listed down the list. They don't have who they're playing. They're really keeping this undisclosed, so.
And usually, you know, whether they intend or not, Wikipedia does have a tendency to be the spoiler.
No, this is IMDb.
Oh.
So. I just think that's pretty funny.
Waiting to reprise his role as the starter. Of the Fast and the Furious.
Yes. Okay. He's going to use a spark barrier. That could be Alan's new name. Alan has spark barrier.
All But like I said, if they're gonna pull strictly from Liefeld's time period,
yeah,
and I would lean towards anything at the same time Deadpool showed up. Now, if we're also talking the MLB, Mutant Liberation Front,
MLF.
You said MLB.
I'm tired. Yeah.
Holy
well,
shit,
they got to improve their image somehow. I mean, they could bring in Forearm.
True. Oh, what's her name? She had Forearms, Vertigo, no, Spiral?
Spiral? Yeah, there we go.
That's her name, okay. I guess we'll know as we get closer.
All right. You said you had another article. I will now shut up and let you get to it.
I got a few. All right. So we're done with that. Okay, we're done with Deadpool for now because, this is all, that just ruined the whole thing. Okay. So I'm surprised they got rid of, you were saying earlier, that they got rid of Black Widow at the beginning of the Marvel intro because she left. But now this article is pretty interesting. This is from about a week ago. Scarlett Johansson's secret Marvel project is, quote-unquote, still happening. Though Black Widow's journey in the Marvel Cinematic Universe may be at an end, that doesn't mean the same is true for Scarlett Johansson. While speaking with comicbook.com, the renowned actress revealed that her Marvel Studios project is still happening, but currently paused as a result of the writer's strike and the upcoming potential SAG-AFTRA strike. Holy shit! We're not going to have any TV fall. It is still happening. Yes, Johansson confirmed. It is still happening, but not currently because nothing is happening right now. We're all sort of in this holding pack.
We got nothing.
There's going to be no movies in the fall. I'm sorry. This is going to happen. And come January, no movies and no TV. Why? Because everybody's on strike. All Hollywood is on strike. It's going to be repeats. It's still happening. But not currently because nothing is happening right now. We're all sort of in this holding pattern as we wait out the writer's strike and potentially our own guild strike and so on and so forth. So what is this secret Marvel project? It was first revealed back in 2021 by Marvel Studios president Kevin F. I say F because I've heard 10 different ways to say his name. Until I get confirmation on one of them, I'm just going to say F. That's it. While details are scarce, it was confirmed to be a non-Black Widow-related project that Johansson would be producing for Marvel Studios. The star recently confirmed that she's finished with playing the role of Black Widow, which explains the producing role and the project being unrelated to the character. Again, due to the writer's strike, further details are unlikely to emerge for a bit, and it's unclear if the many, many, many Marvel release date changes that took place today. Wait a minute, we have release, whoa. Okay, so we have, so I have to go to this article now.
Okay.
Yes, on June 13th, we have Disney release date shakeup for Marvel, Star Wars, and Avatar movies. All right, so several Disney release dates have blah, 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 blah. Okay, here we go. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, in terms of Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, there have been quite a few changes. Captain America, remember how it was supposed to be New World Order? That title's been changed to Brave New World. Has been moved back nearly 3 months from May 3rd, 2024 to July 26th, 2024. Thunderbolts has had its July 26, 2024 premiere date changed to December 20th, 2024. Blade has once more been moved as well, this time from September 6, 2024 to February 14, 2025. Holy shit. Okay, and okay, Deadpool 3 was originally going to come out November 8, 2024, but this release date has been swapped to May 3, 2024. There's more. Fantastic Four was delayed from February 14, 2025 to May 2nd, 2025, with both Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and Avengers Secret Wars also facing delays. Avengers, the Kang Dynasty was pushed back a year. Holy shit. From May 2nd, 2025 to May 1st, 2026, while Avengers Secret Wars was similarly changed from May 1st, 2026 to May 7th, 2027. Holy cow. Okay, on the Star Wars side of things, two untitled Star Wars movies had their release dates set. The first went from December 19, 2025 to May 22, 2026, while the second untitled Star Wars movie was dated for December 18, 2026. All three currently scheduled main Avatar movies have seen substantial delays, starting with Avatar 3 being pushed back a year, oh good lord, from December 20th, 2024 to December 19th, 2025. Avatar 4, originally set to drop on December 18th, 2026, is now releasing on December 21st, are you fucking kidding me, 2029? While Avatar 5's premiere date has been delayed from December 22nd, 2028 to December 19th, 2031. Additionally, Fede Alvarez's untitled Alien movie received a release date of August 16, 2024 as part of the calendar update, while the live-action Moana remake was moved forward from July 2nd, 2025 to June 27, 2025. Okay. You all got that?
Like that doesn't end. Yes, it goes on and on, my friend.
You all caught up? Okay. Now, in the middle of all that, from Marvel, Disney, Venom 3! This is a totally different article. Release date window, the day before all that happened, Venom 3 had a release date window revealed for Sony's superhero sequel. Okay, so Venom 3's release date window has been revealed. And from the look of it, fans of the Sony Marvel series are in for a Halloween treat. Variety has revealed that Venom 3 is scheduled for an October 2024 release. This places it near the October 4th release of DC's supervillain sequel, Joker. Volez adieu. It would also mean Venom 3 will release potentially exactly 3 years after 2021's Venom, Let There Be Carnage, the second Venom movie. Venom 3 will be directed by Kelly Marcel, who is also writing the film. Marcel previously wrote both 2018's Venom and its sequel, along with 50 Shades of Grey and Saving Mr. Banks. It will once again star Tom Hardy and is produced by Avi Arad, Matt Tomac, Amy Pascal, and Hutch Parker. The character of Eddie Brock / Venom was last seen in 2021 Spider-Man No Way Home. In the crossover, Brock got accidentally transported into and out of the MCU. He left behind a small bit of the Venom symbiote in the post-credits scene. Whether or not this portion of the symbiote will play into the future MCU Spider-Man movies is unknown. However, it potentially sets up the iconic symbiote storyline from the comics. Here we go again.
I don't think everyone can remember all of the symbiote names.
Well, you know, the original black suit one, anyway. Mm-hmm. How about that? But more MCU news. More details on Mephisto's MCU appearance in Ironheart has been revealed. Okay, so new details involving the appearance of Mephisto in the upcoming Disney Plus series Ironheart have dropped online. Insider at Can We Get Toast revealed that Mephisto will apparently appear, quote-unquote, mostly in his human form rather than in his demon form. Rather, the Marvel Cinematic Universe show will feature only glimpses of his true demonic appearance. The same insider also detailed a previous report about Marvel villain The Hood stealing tech from Mephisto, noting that the tech will be used to build, quote-unquote, an advanced biosuit in the series. Ironheart will be led by Dominique Thorne, if Beale Street could talk, who will take on the role of Riri Williams. Joining Thorne are Anthony Ramos in The Heights, Manny Montana from Good Girls, Lyric Ross, This Is Us, Alden Aronike from Solo, A Star Wars Story, Zoe Tarekas of Nine Perfect Strangers, Shea Coulier from RuPaul's Drag Race, Reagan Aaliyah, and GLOW alum Shakira Barrera. Ironheart hails from head writer Janaka Hodge of Snowpiercer. It's being directed by Sam Bailey and Angela Barnes, with Ryan Coogler executive producing through his proximity banner. The genius titular hero made her MCU debut in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which arrived in theaters last November. Okay, I saw that movie. I'm trying to remember where she was in that movie.
I don't remember.
That's really weird. Okay, one more. We're going to DC's side for this one.
All right.
Batman, his DCU movie, is going to be directed by Andy Muschietti. James Gunn issues a statement. All right, so the Flash director, Andy Muschietti, will officially direct the upcoming Batman DC Universe movie, The Brave and the Bold. Warner Brothers made the news official tonight ahead of the Flash opening past weekend. DC Studios heads James Gunn and Peter Safran both explained the choice in a joint statement. We saw the Flash even before taking the reins at DC Studios and knew we were in the hands of only a visionary director. I'm sorry. We knew we were in the hands of, it should be not only a visionary director, but a massive DC. Okay, that's every drink. I'm doing it twice because this is a major website. Yeah, drink four times. Holy shit. That kind of thing. That's it. Drink. Said Gunn and Saffron and Muschietti's directing The Brave and the Bold. It was a magnificent film, funny, emotional, thrilling, and Andy's affinity and passion for these characters in this world just resonates through every frame. So, when it came time to find a director for The Brave and the Bold, there was really only one choice. Luckily, Andy said, yes, Barbara signed on to produce with us, and we're on our way. They're an extraordinary team, and we couldn't have better or more inspiring partners as we embark on this thrilling new adventure in the DCU. I believe that's all the news. Okay. So there you have it.
Matt?
No one's calling. If anybody wants to call in chat for a bit, the guest call number is 714-583-6908. Please keep it to Superhero Chat, Champions Online, or City of Heroes.
And we hear some key words from the last few times, which we now have embedded in our brains. It will be an instant disconnect.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And let's do a roll call, shall we? Let's start over in City of Heroes. Besides ourselves, Pokemon, and Mad Viking, we have Hell Lord, Satan, Wolfgang Smirnoff, and we have Guardian Z hanging out dancing. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. over here in the WCSC studios of Millennium City on Champions Online, Mad Viking, myself, Pokemon, Alan and Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Nom Nom, Hair A-Tech, and Numbskull. Thank you for joining us. Every time I see Hair A-Tech, I think of my bodyboard. Because it's Air A-Tech, and the way Hair A-Tech is spelled, it looks exactly like the spelling on the A-Tech part. Except it's not A-Tech, it's A-Tech. So. I'm not making fun of you. I think it's just a cool thing. I've had that board for a long time. It never fails me. And thank you all for joining us. If you want to join us in the chat room, just go over to Blog Talk, where you have the link for the show. Just go over there. Click on the link. It's a free. You can make a free account. It takes like 2 minutes, and you can chat away over there as well.
You can tell I'm tired. We didn't go into a full tilt rant.
That's right.
I got to tell here. So we start playing the song from the ASPCA, In the Heart of an Angel. Yes.
Please help. Now I got this fucking
help.
Song in my head. Holy, you know what's funny about that?
Get a break.
You know what's funny? It's not that commercial. It's what it's played on. Mm. Some nights they play, like late night, or some evenings they'll do like pro wrestling, or like Sunday morning. They play that commercial every fucking commercial break. And I find myself just recording whatever shows I want to watch on that channel, and I'll come back an hour later or 2 hours later so I can fast forward and not worry about catching up. And they go, why did you do that, Mike? Because of this commercial. I'm like, yeah. It's like, okay. And they sit there for 20 minutes like, oh, my God, it's on every commercial break. Thank you. That's the problem. It's like, this doesn't fit. Like, normally advertisers, you know, they try and get something with the audience. You know, this does not fit the Fight Network. And it's just, why? Why?
I'm waiting for someone to tell Jester, and then he can make the ad. It's like,
oh,
I'm
God.
Mad Viking to take a break. Please give to the, give Mad Viking a vacation fund.
I think you could do that, or you could do the I'm tired song.
What has it been? 8 years? I've been helping with the station and more with the supergroup. Without
right.
a break.
This is Don Con. I'm surprised, dude. That's. I was gonna say that's commitment. I think you should be committed. I'm sorry, but you.
I've had a few people say I should be committed. I go, excuse me, Mad Viking.
That's right. There you go. Oh, okay. Sad news today, people, or yesterday. For those fans of the CW show Gotham Knights, I don't know why you would be. Yeah, it got canceled. There will be no season two. For those who don't know, here's the premise. Batman / Bruce Wayne was killed. Wherever he found out that Batman was Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Wayne was Batman, he had an adopted son, not anybody from the comic books, okay? The children of his arch villains band together to prove they're all innocent. Misha Collins, who played on Supernatural, anyway, he plays Two-Face.
Okay.
Why can't I remember his character? He's one of the main characters on the show. I just had it in my head. It was just the end of my time. I just had it for a moment. He plays the angel. He's on the show for like the longest time too. He's like one of the main characters. He's like the third main character on the show. Oh my God, I can't believe I can't remember his name. That's how tired I am this weekend. Oh my God. Oh my God. I even dressed like him as a costume contest for Guardians of the Galaxy and won first place as him. Holy shit, I can't remember his name.
Gabriel?
No. It's not like him. It's not Castiel. I just remember before looking it up. Castiel.
Okay.
All right. If you're wondering who he is, yes. So that show was canceled. Thank God. I mean, when I saw it. Hold on.
Wolfgang came up with the name right there.
What? He said as I – what, he typed as I said it?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Oh, my God. And it's on reruns on TNT, and I'm watching it all the time, too. Well, you know what sucks? On the last season, I might have missed the – You know, I don't want to watch. I don't want to. Part of me wants to watch it again, knowing what I know, but I just can't. The series finale.
No, I know what you want to watch. You want to watch The Crisis so you can see the Care Bear stare again.
Yeah.
And hopefully someone puts in a Snyder Cut version and you see the emblems representing their characters shoot out of their chest.
Yeah, I would love to see that. That would be so cool. Because that's what it needed. And that's what that really needed. But no, they won't do that. Okay, you know what? I forgot Supernatural is on today because I was at my stepsister babysitting my nephew because for Juneteenth he had off. They restarted the series there in season one, so I missed the ending of the I missed the last few episodes of the series. I missed the final episode. The second to last episode I think would have been a cooler. Seriously, that should have been the final episode. That would have been it. That would have been awesome. But I'm hearing rumors that they're going to start working on a new, they're bringing it back. They're going to work on a new one, so.
Okay, looks like, by the sounds of it, no one's on the line. Let's see, I'm trying to build up a rage for a rant.
We got 7 minutes. Well, my point was that CW is just killing off the whole, they're killing off the whole thing here. They killed off the whole Arrowverse. I mean, technically, Gotham Knights was never part of it. I have all the episodes for this season's Superman Lois. I haven't watched it. I'll probably watch it this week. I'll give my review next week if I get through it. I think that's coming back for season four. That of all shows, the one superhero show that's not part of the Arrowverse, they're bringing that back. I don't get that at all, but yeah.
Let's see. I'm drawing a blank on anything else after that.
I I'm just worried about. I'm worried about the future now. I mean, it's just. I mean, thank God we have streaming services to fall back on now. Because think about it, all these strikes happening, every show is going to be delayed. Oh, I didn't watch it yet. The Walking Dead, Dead City, premiered last night.
For those who are young, this is not the first strike. I can go back to the 90s. In fact, some of the commercials were even making fun of the strike. I still remember this one for Friends. Chandler comes out and goes, you know, are they still on strike? Yeah. Well, they better all they... They better get back to job. I can't even think of a good quip.
Hold on. I got one better. Mid-80s. Okay. Saturday Night Live. Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, Martin Short were regulars that year. Okay? Go to the next season. Anthony Michael Hall, Robert Downey Jr., Randy Quaid, John Lovitz, Dennis Miller were some of the regulars on there. Joan Cusack was another regular. Strike season. But before that, the season started, if you remember this, Madonna was the first host, was the guest host of the premiere. Do you remember how well that season was?
Let's see. This was was it before or after the Murphy Piscopo years?
No, this is after. This is after, because remember, after Murphy Piscopo, Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, Martin Short won. They wanted to do 2 years, but the president wouldn't pay them for 2 years. He fired them after one season. Nobody knows why. The ratings were awesome. Everybody was like, huh? I thought it was weird. I didn't know about this until years later. I thought it was weird they only did one season. But, yeah. One season of them. You got this entirely new cast. Entirely new. It was so bad. The only thing that saved them was a fucking writer strike. I think that the writer strike hadn't happened.
I think I'm having a flash. No, was this also the same thing time period where the only saving grace that whole thing had was Johnny Rockin' dropping the F bomb?
No, this was like a year or two after that.
Oh,
see, this was so awful. The only good things to come out of it, this was basically the series. The writer's strike was over. They came back to do the finale. Supposedly, why are we all in the locker room? What's his name? Michael Warren, the guy who created the show, he set the locker room on fire. The only one he takes is John Lovitz. And I think Dennis Miller escaped, because they're the only two who came back the next year. Oh, it was so bad, they had Dennis Miller acting in skits.
Then he found his calling with the Weekend
Update.
Whoa,
hold on a minute. We got a problem here.
What?
We got 90 seconds left. What's going on here? I set the show for 90 minutes. Yeah, I don't know how to, something's wrong here. Shit.
Looks like we're ending early.
Yeah, hold on a minute. Hold on a second, guys. I'm trying to fix this right now. Are you kidding me? Shit.
Well, if you better prep for the worst-case scenario. Want to thank you for listening.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I said. Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Shit, I can't get back to the studio. Come on, get me back to the studio. Come on, studio, studio. No, I want the studio. Ah, come on. Are you kidding me? What the hell? Are you kidding me?
That's it.
Well, I said this for 90, it said 90 minutes before.
I don't know.
Holy shit.
See what happens when I don't get a rest here? Block talk about like no rant from Mad Viking. Oh, let's shut it down. I wanted to watch Pokemon's is gonna be going sending me 5-hour energy drinks from
It said 90 minutes before we started.
I think Well, I got an idea. I got an idea. Since I got
what?
A fill-in for Coconut tomorrow, type to everyone else. We're going to do an after show on right now. It will be recorded, and you'll hear the whole thing tomorrow after Super Sounds on dawnradio.org. All
right, all right.
Guardian Z, what? Are you kidding me? Is the last thing we heard?
Let me see if I get that. All right.
Hello, Samuel.
What's
up,
Sam?
I forgot to turn off my demon's curse. Sorry, Pokemon. My bad.
What time is that over?
It
time?
Starts. It will start at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. Eastern.
All right.
Type on dawnradio.org because I don't think Guardian Z knows it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well,
so we're in the after party, and
I guess I could beam up to the base. It'll take the lag.
Are we
going to
keep this going for another half an hour?
Yeah. I'm just
going
to beam up. Yeah, they're not listening. It's just me and you now.
All right.
So I'm
going to
beam up to the base.
Me to the, all right, you teleport me to the base, and I'll join you there. You didn't go anywhere.
Because I'm in the process. Just go to the baseboard.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Where's the baseboard?
The baseport?
What are you talking about? Oh, the baseport.
Yes!
Okay.
How about you just put that? How about that? Man, we have to talk like Bob Dylan now. We're that tired.
Reminds me when I used to talk to my grandmother. If I didn't say yes, Grandma, she would say yes, Grandma. I would go, blah, 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 and she would go, why are you saying, why? I was like, because if I don't say yes, you put this look on your face like I'm talking Greek. And I'm not a little kid. So Oh, she got weird towards the end. It was like, make me a promise you're not going to drink and you're not going to talk to girls. Grandma, I'm 40 years old and we're at a wedding and I'm single. We have a bus back to the hotel.
All right, well, let's get it out. Home from the tomb.
Okay, hold on a minute. Wait. All right, I'm heading over. You take. We're going to take the GJs. I can't talk. All right, let's go up here. Okay, I'm up here. You can join me up here. Actually, it doesn't matter where we are.
Because there's my lag also as well.
All right, well, we're in the baseball.
I'm ending it with a zigzag.
All right. I can't believe that happened. All right. So we're going to hang out. We're going to record this till 9. All right. So, first off. All right. Yeah, the guy that,
this will be the unedited version.
As opposed to every other time we do this. All right. We're going to keep this short and sweet. Let's just say, if you have an arch nemesis in this book, you're screwed. Now, these are oddball criminals from comic book history. They are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. All right, we're doing two from the Golden Age, one from the Silver Age, because we've gone through all the Modern Age crackpot villains. I guess by the time they got to the Modern Age creating villains, they got their act together. So, I don't know.
I guess one.
They said, all right, no, yeah, I guess so, you know. All right, so this is an enemy of the Grim Reaper, created by Alex Schomburg and, oh, God, an uncredited writer.
Look, here we go.
When you get an uncredited writer, you know this guy's really lame. Or
it's Fubar Man.
The guy. Or Schomburg just said, somebody help me with this. Yeah, that's what happened. Okay, debuted in Wonder Comics number 9, Better/Standard/Nedor. Well, that's a great publisher. Better Standard Nedor, December 1946. Not to be confused with Mr. Mike, Eek the Cat, all the other misters in this book. His quote, cheerio, Reaper, I'll see you anon. His character, goddamn, that was his quote. His name, Mr. Meek. Okay. Villainy is a brutal business, I swear to God. But some culturally refined fiends, God damn it, can make it seem like jolly sport. After all, no one ever said a serial murderer needn't be gentlemanly. This seems to be the philosophy of Mr. Meek, a deadly dandy in a bespoke suit, sporting a monocle and boutonniere, and accenting his ensemble with a derby and a gold-handled cane. He's the model of the well-dressed gentleman, and also a vicious thief and murderer. Slaying one, Dr. Barlow drops a powerful weapon into Mr. Meek's hands. Barlow, an inventor, had created a formula that, as Meek explains, when used as a spray, will melt metal, any metal in existence. But murdering Barlow puts Mr. Meek in the sights of the Grim Reaper, a violent crime fighter whose preferred tactic is to lasso his enemies around the neck with a hangman's noose. Why is it in the Golden Age the heroes seem more brutal than the villains? After a brief but decisive battle, the Reaper is surprised to find that the slim, wispy fop puts up a terrific fight. You scrawny rat, our hero howls in frustration, attempting to skewer Meek with a hastily flung knife. I'll pin your ears to the wall. Meek escapes handily, however, and leaves the Grim Reaper to his musings and personal problems. As luck would have it, those same problems set the stage for a rematch. A post-war housing crisis sees a Grim Reaper civilian alter ego, Bill Norris, searching every flop house and tenement for a place to bunk. Approaching an apartment building in hopes of finding a vacancy, Norris instead sees Mr. Meek exit with his henchmen carrying armloads of empty buckets. Their target is the Municipal Museum, and the Grim Reaper is on their trail. Inside, Meek introduces his henchmen, Scaldy, and the constantly sweets goblin candy to their target. Meek's intent is to steal the golden bull of Budapur, a treasure from antiquity. Using a spray can of the metal melting substance, Mr. Meek begins liquefying the golden statue. As they haul the gold to their car in buckets, the villain and his henchmen meet the Grim Reaper. Better prepared this time for Meek's surprising martial acumen. God damn it, this is so lame. The Reaper makes short work of him. Though he fails to strangle the crook with his hangman's noose, he makes the violent promise. And next stop is the electric chair. The capture of Mr. Meek and his gang yields an additional benefit for the Reaper's alter ego. With the crooks no longer occupying their furnished apartment, Bob Norris finally finds a solution to his housing problem. Well, there you go. Okay, you know what's really funny about this? No. A couple of paragraphs earlier, they say the Grim Reaper's alter ego is Bill Norris, and in the last sentence they call him Bob Norris.
Like I said, the blooper reel.
God. I know, they can't even add their own book anymore. Nobody's editing anything anymore. Oh my God, this is, all right. Oh my God, no one's editing anything tonight. Take a drink. Take two, hold on. Take four drinks because that's a published book. It's a published book and you didn't even edit the name. You didn't check. All right, okay. Man, all right. Our next one. Oh, our next one is an enemy of Mary Marvel, created by Otto Binder and Jack Binder.
Ah.
Otto Binder and Jack. Oh, my goodness. They're back. Yeah, the Binders created a lot of villains in the Golden Age. Debuted in Wow Comics number 14 of Fawcett Comics, June 1943. Okay, hex code, hashtag 00000. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Well, let's find out. Here's a quote. Oh, okay. Go away, puny earthling. These men are under the protection of Mr. Knight. And the villain, Mr. Knight. Supervillains come in all shapes and sizes, based on all sorts of themes, and they dress in all kinds of colors. But only one is a living idea of color. More specifically, an incarnation of the absence of color. That bizarre distinction belongs to Mr. Knight. The premise, evil embodiment of absolute blackness who threatens a magical kingdom of color so as to drench the world in darkness and rule it forever. Seems like something straight out of a fairy tale, especially since the entire adventure begins with a crook chasing a rainbow so as to steal a piece of gold. Look at me, I'm a leprechaun. Okay, sorry. All this takes place in the world of Mary Marvel, a member of the Marvel family clan, and a character whose adventures often had the whimsical logic and seeming free association of children's bedtime stories. She teams up with child prodigy Creighton Tinkerman, to investigate the youngster's discovery of a genuine pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Gold that the crooked gangster, oh good lord, Porky Snort, Pig, also Hopkins. I told you.
I'm the one that says son of a bitch.
That's right. I want me gold now, motherfucker. Okay. A fight upon a hijacked hot air balloon sees all the players in the drama dropped off in the color kingdom of Rainbow City, Arbor of the Sky Spirits, according to a shibboleth above the city gates. Meeting with King Color, Mary receives a... Oh, good. Okay, I wish we were alive right now. Because you know, at this point, Alan would be screaming. You know what he would be screaming. Do you want to say it for him?
Go ahead.
Do you
want to
say it for him? Crayon Cartel! Crayon Cartel! Okay, Alan, yes, this would be, if you're listening tomorrow night, Alan, Tuesday night, this is the appropriate time to scream Crayon Cartel. Why not? Because everything else in this makes sense. Where was I? I don't know anymore. And the importance of the seemingly mythical realm. Oh, hold on. Meeting with King Color, Mary receives a quick education in the importance of the seemingly mythical realm. This is the place where all colors come from. The colors of dawn and sunset, of autumn, of the aurora borealis, of pictures, explains the rainbow region. Thankfully, abbreviating his list, then he warns Mary of the insidious Mr. Knight, an evil sky spirit banished from the city who is the deadly enemy of the king. Indeed, Mr. Knight, with the aid of Porky Snork and his men, is already enacting his color king plan. He invades the color factory of Jack Frost, where the hues of the seasons are mixed, and abducts the king's daughter, Aurora, the spirit of dawn. He plans to hold her for ransom, namely, all the color in Rainbow City, which he will then destroy, turning the whole world jet black. And I'll rule the earth! Ha ha! He seems to make a bit of a leap, but it's a moot point. Mary zooms to the gloomy reaches of Nightland, and with a single punch, she knocks the fiend through the bricks of his own castle. Unfortunately, doing so allows him to escape. Slipped away in the dark, Mary scolds with a tisk. I shouldn't have hit him so hard. Still, as in all good fairy tales, the princess is saved, the bad guy is defeated, and everyone in the Kingdom of Color lives happily ever after. The end.
I see you'll show the true colors shining through.
Goodness gracious.
I'm tired. I haven't.
All right. I know. We got one more. We're going to the Silver Age. Okay. So this one is an enemy. Oh, good Lord. Okay, I'm thinking of Teen Titans Go to the Movies with this one. This is an enemy of the Challengers of the Unknown. Help us.
Okay.
We're trapped.
Okay.
You didn't see the movie?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah.
At the end, they're still trapped in the void. Created by Arnold Drake. And
I
want to
say this is pre-Wave Rider, so before Zero Hour, because Wave Rider then joins. Yes, okay.
Yeah, this is how pre it is. This character debuted in Challengers of the Unknown number 57, DC Comics, August, September 1967. So this is way, way before that. Remember, this is Silver Age.
There was no crisis yet.
Right. Pre-crisis. Possible alter egos. Maynard G. Krebs, Ed Cookie Burns, Conrad Birdie. Quote, don't lose your cool, daddy-o. Tino baby's on his way. Okay. The character Tino or Tino the Terrible Teen. We'll go with Tino. The Silver Age of comics saw all sorts of new trends informing its four-color contents with Super Spies, the Space Race, the Cold War, and the swinging go-go hippies of campy television significantly changing the cultural landscape. Among these movements was a suddenly vibrant youth culture. Prior to the advent of the Bobby Soxers in the 1940s, teenagers weren't considered a class unto themselves. Disposable post-war income and the luxuries of an industrial age introduced the idea of a distinct subculture of independent teens with unique habits, euphemisms, and interests, and some people found that terrifying. Naturally, anything that scares the crowds makes for a good villain, which is likely the genesis of Tino, the Terrible Teen. Tino, as it in for the Challengers of the Unknown, four hero types who had escaped certain death and subsequently fought evil in order to make the most of their quote-unquote borrowed time. The challengers recognized Tino as the juvenile king of the jukebox and the richest teenager in the world, owing to his wild popularity as a mop-top adolescent rock star. More to the point, he's also the kid mechanical wizard, possessing a technological expertise that makes him a genuine menace to the challengers and a suitable partner to the evil Power Man, their mighty electric foe who is more powerful than 100 atom bombs. Tino's hatred of the challengers turns out to be a family matter. The terrible teen reveals himself to be Marty Ryan, brother of recently deceased challenger Red Ryan. Avenging his dead brother, Tino pursues the heroes until they convince him that Red's death was a willing sacrifice. Torn by remorse, Tino wonders aloud, he blew himself up to save half a country full of people he never knew? And what did I do? In the end, Tino reforms. Not only does he help defeat Power Man, he also plays a key role in rescuing his, it turns out, not dead brother. The one thing he won't do, accept an offer to join the challengers. It's not for me, he explains. Those corny uniforms and the Boy Scout schedules, it's just not my pot of punch. Well, I'm so sorry. Those teens and their pot. Anyway, as a wildly successful rock star and the richest teenager in the world, Tino seems to be doing just fine. ladies and gentlemen, there you go for this week's From the Tomb, we have the tome. Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. We only have two left for the Silver Age.
Oh, that happened before.
What? Well, that was the Modern Age.
Yeah, but I'm saying we ran out of the Modern Age, then we ran out of the Silver Age, and
I'm trying to see what we have left here. Hold on. Wow. Okay. So we have two left in the Silver Age and 15 mm-hmm. left in the Modern Age. We'll be done before Dawn Con. And then I want to know something. I'm checking the schedule here. We'll be up to the Sidekicks right around Dawn Con. At this rate. Because in 2 weeks, we'll be doing three from the Golden Age each week. One, two, three. No, because we have 4 weeks left. So, two. Now, we might have enough to make it past Dawn Con.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll play it here. Now, this is what I want to ask you, though.
Yeah.
All right. I can't believe this. All right. Today's the 19th. Right? Next week is the 26th. The week after, 2 weeks, is July 3rd. Okay.
Usually take off.
Here's the deal now. The wedding is the 8th.
Right.
Are you going to be around for the 10th?
Yeah. More than likely, yeah.
Okay, so then do you want to take the 3rd off for the week, for the holiday weekend?
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll do next week, and then we'll take a week off, and we'll be back on the 10th. But we're here, well, I guess tomorrow night you'll hear from us, and then, so when we say next week, so we'll be back the 26th next week. The week after July 3rd, we won't do show, which will Yeah, I think we need that week off. So, the 26th. All right, so the 26th, we're here. Next week, we're here. In 2 weeks, we're off for the 4th of July weekend. And then we're back on the 10th, the 17th, and that leads into DonCon weekend. The 24th of July, we'll do our big recap weekend. Wow, man. This is going fast. Wow. Question.
Mm-hmm.
Talk like a pirate days. What day again? Or 17th,
16th, 18th, 19th? I don't know.
I thought I had some on my calendar to repeat every... no, that's Rosh Hashanah. I'll check. Hold on. I will check. I'm just
Tuesday, September 19th.
Tuesday, September 19th. And who's on that night? It's...
Super Sounds and Coconut.
And what time is she on till?
8 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, the good captain wanted to want to make an appearance and do his show.
Well, you still got Monday.
Yeah, but, you know, last year was different. It was actually that day, you know. And just, you know, I don't know if he'll want to make an appearance that day. So, you know, something like he only comes out on that day. we could do a special.
You can ask.
Show
you can
day.
Ask if you want to do a pre-recorded thing.
You know, I could go two nights.
Well, I gotta get ready for the other show.
Well, what do we got? 4 minutes. All right, we got 2 minutes left. So now, if those people listen to the replay, thank you all for listening. You guys rock. Watch those superhero shows on streaming service. You know, watch those genre shows. You know, the superhero movie Flash came out. I'm probably going to have to wait a week or two to see it. Probably have to wait 2 weeks to see it. What was I going to say? Read those comic books, superhero novels. There's some out there. Enjoy the week. Stay super. Until next week, stay super. Anything you'd like to say in closing?
I'm tired. Tired of the game. Ain't it a freaking shame? So let's face it. From the down is the foot. Tard.
He's bushed. Let's face it. He's bushed. All right, folks. I think he's trying to say he's just thought he's had it. Say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Until next time. You know, it's funny. We're in the after show, so we have an hour, so that's why we're not getting a countdown. I don't know what happened tonight. I swear I said it for 90. It said 90 before. Anyway, we just hit 30 minutes. We hit 30 minutes into the after. So, all right, we're out of here. Have a good one. We'll see you next week. I would only say stay tuned for Greatest Generation podcast, but it's Tuesday night, so enjoy.
Yep.
Enjoy your Tuesday. All right, I'm out of here. Thank you for co-hosting Mad Viking, and we'll see you Monday night, and hopefully it'll be not full 90-minute episode. God help us. And the good and in the immortal words, Oy vey. Good night.